Hi, this is Lane from Riffage Media, creator of The Day Everything Changed. You don't hear from me too often. I typically let the writing or the actors, the voice actors, speak for the work themselves, but I figured it'd be nice to hear from me and then also sort of dive deeper into season 3 and the rest of the show for The Day Everything Changed for some of the actors and the people who are behind it. So we're going to do a couple of these behind-the-scenes episodes for you so you can get a deeper dive into the seasons, the story, the plot, the characters, some of the decisions that we decided to make and things like that with some of the actors from the show and also the co-writer for season 3. I hope you enjoy engaging with the show this way, and I hope that these episodes will bring you a little closer to the show and the story that we're trying to tell here. As always, you can connect with us on Blue Sky, Instagram, Tumblr. I have a pretty active Reddit account. I'm in the audio drama subreddit. Feel free to reach out there. You can email the show, visit our website. We have various avenues for you to get in touch with us. Something else that we did this season was we got new artwork made by Ray, and it turned out really, really nicely, and we had some stickers made from it. So if you want to let me know that you listened, give us a rating, give us a review, anything that helps the show, reach out, let me know that you did that, and I will mail you a sticker. Thanks again for listening to the show. I'm just happy that you're enjoying the show and that you're connecting with it. So please enjoy these behind-the-scenes episodes. I browse the audio drama Reddit page every now and then, and I'll like search our show just to see like if anyone said anything. Someone posted a review of the show the other day, like of the first two seasons, and I'd never seen it before, like just like a super long text, like its own thread about it, which was cool. And they had a lot of very nice things to say about both of you, by the way.
Oh, that's so nice.
And it was in the section of like, they talked about like the story and all that kind of stuff, but it also talked about the voice acting in particular. There's like a whole, there was like a little section on it. And I think they ranked like you two, like 1 and 2. So I thought that was really nice.
That's nice. That's so nice. I love that. I'm definitely going to go look that up later.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. It's cool. And I should have screenshot it and sent it to you. Sometimes like you can see like, you can see like people downloading it, listening to it, but you never really like know most of the time who they are or what they really think or anything like that. So it was kind of cool to see like a typed out review that mentions like people in the show. So I thought it was pretty cool. So this is Lane, the creator of The Day Everything Changed. And I have Ben Glassman, who plays Jack with me. And I have Jasmine Anderson, who plays Sarah with me. So two of our main characters here. And I wanted to have, first of all, if you're listening to this episode and you have not finished season 3, I would say stop now, finish, and then come back, because we'll talk about spoilers and things like that. So I'd hate for the story to be ruined if you're already listening to this. So Jasmine, I just kind of wanted to start with you, as in like, we followed this character since season 1, has gone through some traumatic things, I would say, very traumatic things. So like now in season 3, you know, she's sort of somewhat forced, somewhat not, to go to this Akron location where these mysterious people are, because the person on the radio specifically identifies her to come. And so she's sent off with Robert, someone who we really haven't learned a ton about in season 2. So this season he really shines and we find out more about him. So I'm just kind of curious, like, what do you think of Sarah's arc through this season and, you know, where she ends up going and how the story turns out?
I honestly really like her arc. I think, kind of like a spoiler for the end, like you already said, it was really nice to see her character say goodbye to somebody in a healthy way that isn't just being forcefully ripped from her. So just like seeing her like go through this like next level like traumatic event, and I think getting to the end and there being like a closure between her and Jack, just like excited to see like where that goes. But I think it was really good for her.
Yeah, Ben, I'm curious on that too. It's actually a good point because, you know, with John, she didn't get to say bye. She didn't in a sense, but it was forced, obviously, because he sacrificed himself for the better of them too to get to safety. And then in season 2, Sarah meets Jack and they go out together and try to accomplish something. This time they're separated. But at the very end, of course, they do get to say bye to each other. So I'm curious for you, what did you think of Jack's arc this season? And then what do you think about sort of his future going off with Angie and the other crew that shows up?
I liked it a lot, honestly. I remember messaging you when I first read the script, and obviously it's like, it was sad and it definitely like affected me reading that character and like knowing that character and seeing them go their separate ways, because it's, you know, you always want the two people who like each other to end up together, but it felt very healthy. It felt very nice. And it was nice to have that separation for a season to let them both find their own ways in a way. Cause you know, I think in a situation like that, it would be very easy to become very codependent on each other. But having that kind of forced separation to have to figure out what each of them actually want was very nice. And I thought it was very mature and it was very cool. And of course, in an environment like that, you have to kind of mature fast. And it felt very, very realistic. I liked it a lot.
Something I wonder too, Jack specifically, because in season two we sort of explored what the Sarah character likes. You know, we learned that she likes the teaching aspect, and that's what she would ultimately like to do and for her future at the safe zone. This season she doesn't get to do any of that because she's sent off to Akron. But with Jack, we didn't really find out too much about like his personal interests in season two, but this time he sort of is interested in how things run and potentially like wanting to like step into some sort of role and help that situation. Obviously, that sort of falls apart at the end because he leaves with Angie. What did you think of the character trying to find like a purpose in like a, you know, a post-apocalyptic kind of world?
I think it's very realistic. And I like it's like, because in season two, it's not as if we just didn't get to hear about what his purpose was. It's that he just genuinely didn't know what it was. You know, in a situation like that, it's like you're losing everything and you're like just trying to survive. And so I think it's nice to see these characters able to like actually have a purpose outside of just continuing to live, you know? And I thought it was very cool. It was very relatable. And it's like we deal with that in our real lives, just going about real life. And without all the issues of zombies, but being able to, you know, sit down and actually think about your future and what you want and what you like and like what you think you're good at, it's like a privilege. It's very nice. And I think it's nice that he had some time to actually think about that.
One thing I wanted to ask is, I don't know if you remember this, but I asked some of the cast members to send like a little video of like introducing themselves, and you two are part of that. Ben, your video in particular, you mentioned that you love Little Debbie snacks.
Yes.
And you're a big fan of that. And I was just curious because there's a scene in the show where like Angie takes you to where like there's like a secret stash of Little Debbie cakes. Did you read that part before you sent the video, or that just
I
happened by
don't think I
coincidence?
did. I mean, I feel like at that point I had read the script, but no, I don't think I internalized it. I definitely like that is a pillar of my life. Like I really do like Little Debbie snacks. So no, it was that's just you know, sometimes you relate with your character, you know? It's real. It's definitely real for me.
Well, it's good to know that Zariah and I were really locked in on what we thought the
Yeah.
character would actually like. Well, in the show, he has no idea because he's not old enough, I guess, to like
Yeah.
remember. Jasmine, the Sarah character is sent with Robert as they travel to Akron and to find this chapel. You know, we learn a lot of things along the way with Robert. If you think about the last time she had some sort of like, you know, if you want to say like male or like some sort of like father figure or something like that, it was obviously John, and she hasn't had someone like that. Tessa sort of took her under her wing as like a mother figure, but it's very different from the Sarah character traveling with John versus traveling with Robert. So I'm kind of curious on like what you thought of the Sarah character getting to know Robert, their interaction, and how like they seem to butt heads a lot. And then obviously we find out that he's very tied into this cult and he knows that ultimately that that's where they're going and he wants to sort of get revenge, I guess. So what did you think about all of those interactions?
I thought they were interesting and they were really great for Sarah's character and kind of like not necessarily like a parallel to like the first season. It's the way that like Robert almost hid these things to protect Sarah in a way. And I definitely felt like he was like he had his own vendetta, but like there were points where he would step up. And I think that was something Sarah would recognize, kind of like looking back and forth. And I think that's part of the reason why they also butted heads. Quite a bit is like it's like the you're not my dad like mentality, but it's like that's also it's her protector like going into this, and I think she's just like wanting to like just protect herself and like to be independent. So I think her having to rely on Robert was really hard for her. I just think like the season was great for her character overall and learning new things and learning how to trust people.
One of my favorite things about the season, specifically scene, is whenever Liam comes to get Sarah to take her to meet Adira for the first time, and that initial reaction of your two characters sort of finding out each other, and you know she's wanting information about where you came from so they can sort of like grow their numbers and travel to another place. So I'm sort of curious on like, in you know, in season one, there's not necessarily a villain. There's when we meet Tessa for the first time and Olivia, they're seen as a villain at first. Then we come to find out they're just trying to survive and they end up helping each other. in season two, when we go out to try and find the child that that search crew had seen, we meet the cannibal character. There's not a ton of depth there other than they're just very like just evil people. This time we actually get like a very fleshed out villain, an antagonist that has their own ideas. So I'm curious on like reading those particular scenes and recording that part where you have to interact with an antagonist who has their own ideas and is trying to get what they want out of it. So how did you feel about Sarah initially trying to interact with her and trying to like hide information and things like that?
I thought it was really interesting, especially because Sarah believes in the good of people and mankind. So it was almost as if though like she knew that there were bad people out there and that there were like villains and like or not even like necessarily villains, but just like people trying to survive in their own way in the ways that they know. So I think to come across like an actual villain was scary. Just not at all what she was used to, especially when you notice like in that episode she was bargaining quite a lot with the villain and trying to tap into like the side of humanity that she no longer has.
One thing we learn about the Adira character is that she's immune somehow, most likely born with it. We don't really necessarily know. And that's not necessarily the interesting part of it. It's just that she is. And she's trying to use it for her own good and not the betterment of everyone else. And we find out that her parents did find some sort of way to give immunity to members of her guard, like Liam and other characters like that. And then ultimately, she says in the season that I go out on my own terms. And once she's finally cornered and there's really not a way out, she literally goes out on her own terms. I was just curious on what you guys thought about that. And as far as like, do you think that there's another cure somehow? Do you think that there's more numbers and that there are potentially people out there who would want to, give themselves up to potentially save everyone? Or do you think it ultimately comes down to people who are going to most likely attempt to just gain power from it, like what Adira was doing?
My first thought is like, if Adira has the power, then someone else probably has it as well in a world so full of people. I'm sure there's some people in the world, speaking hypothetically, like if this happened to us in the real world and people, some people every once in a while had this immunity to them, I'd say most people probably wouldn't want to help, but there's definitely going to be some people. There's some like righteous and kind people in this world who only want to help. But I guess it depends what giving yourself up entails, is that giving up your life, or is that just like kind of allowing yourself to be experimented on, or what have you?
I think I'd have to agree. I think there's still like a lot of good people. I think what it would really boil down to is like how many of those people, like I think of like the zombie apocalypse and everything like that. It's like how many of those people that could potentially have a cure, how many of them got torn apart by the sick? How many people have gotten sick or like gotten bitten and they've just like they're like, okay, like the process is gonna start happening. Like, let's just get this over with. And they already do the self-righteous thing of like taking themselves out before anything does happen. It's like how many people are willing to let the process go that far to see if they are immune? Maybe Adir was just like so unique that she was just like she had maybe the like narcissism to be like, I'm not like other people, like I'm gonna get through this. So I think it's just a matter of maybe somebody figured out that they had it and now they're able to help.
Maybe it's like a placebo, where if you believe that you won't, if you won't turn into a zombie, then you won't.
If you
I
just
like
think
that.
it, if you just think it hard enough, it's
Yeah.
not going to happen.
Mind over matter.
We learned a little more about the Kevin character. Every time I was editing him, it was just driving me nuts. Just hearing what he was saying. One of the side plot points of the season is the sort of Angie versus Kevin, or not even really Angie versus, because she seems to be in a different headspace where maybe this isn't for her. We learned that her brother once ran this place, and then before he passed, as we sort of have this hypothetical battle of our two leaders here, like who do you think that Kevin has a point where he thinks he could do a better job? Do you think that Angie sending Sarah and Robert out to this unknown location with these two strangers, do you think that was a good idea, or do you think it actually did put everyone in jeopardy?
I think the beauty of it is that everybody is flawed. I think Kevin is the kind of character who is more flawed on the surface and who is more abrasive, and those kind of characters I think usually get the most of the hate. But at the end of the day, it's like I like how well written they were in terms of both of them being very flawed in different ways. And I enjoyed, reading Angie's part a lot because it's like she did mess up in a lot of ways, but she was trying her best and she was kind of forced into this leadership role, which I think is a very like realistic situation that could happen in this kind of thing. You feel a certain amount of sympathy for both of them. I think it's easier to feel sympathy for Angie because she's just kind of a nicer person on the surface. But Kevin definitely like he could have handled that in a better way. It's like, sure, he may have some points, but he could have handled it more cordially.
In a world like that, everyone's trying to do what's right. And I think it's like very cutthroat when someone doesn't do the right thing all the time. So that's where I feel a lot of sympathy for Angie in that like situation, especially because it's like in a world like that where you know that there's like a whole nother group of people that are alive and well, and maybe they're thriving, and you want, you know, your people to thrive as well and to just like come together and like feel human again. It's just a really tough situation.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
One of the big secrets of this season was, if you listen to season two and well, and season one, that you would know that this the Alicia character is sort of the, she's not a leader, but she's sort of the face of the people who come to seek refuge at the Cleveland Safe Zone. And you don't hear from her at all in the season. And then come to find out that she's down in a medical wing, is what we called it. And the Jack character sort of stumbles upon it. I think Angie, as stressed as she was, or unknowingly told Jack to go get something down there, not thinking that he would see her. And then he goes down there and then he finds Alicia has turned sick, and then he confronts Angie about it. Do you think that Angie was right to withhold that information from everyone to try and fix this part herself? Or do you think she should have been very upfront about what she was really after with the radio tower being fixed?
It's so tough in a situation like that because you just don't know how the mass is going to react, you know? And I think that's always the biggest worry of, you know, if you have an idea that you really care about and something that you're like, I need to get this done, I think there can be kind of a hesitancy to tell everyone because that can very quickly turn against you, which it very much did when Kevin just took up the torch and was like, let's all fight against Angie. And so it's just a tough situation, you know? It's like, I don't think it was necessarily morally right that she didn't tell everyone, but I understand where her mind is at because her telling everyone about this and her big idea could very much turn into like, no, we just need to kill Alicia and be done with this. Like, we can't risk this, you know?
Have you, okay, it's, they had like the same, like almost like plot point in The Walking Dead. I can't remember what season, but it just like, it backfired so much. And what was it? The person ended up getting out, and it ended up like taking out like half of like the commune that was like completely set up. I think like hiding it is purely for selfish reasons, and that's where we can see her flaws.
It's interesting that you say that. I think I've only seen the first season of The Walking Dead, so I'm not sure when that happens. But that is, I mean, that's one of the situations that they could potentially find themselves in. You know, Jack somehow was smart enough to, you know, in that moment of panic, shut the door and lock it again and leave. Fortunately, she'll still be in there. So, well, spoiler for whatever the next season might bring. I don't know how long it's going to take for, you know, Angie and Jack and the rest to go and find what they need to find and bring it back, if they're able to. So I'd like to say that that's not going to happen to Cleveland. So we'll see. I always like to speculate and think about the bigger world for like a show like The David Thing Change or countless other ones that are post-apocalyptic. So, you know, we seem to have safety in Cleveland with all of our main characters here until something like this happened. And now Sarah's returned, Jack's going away. As far as like you guys, I guess maybe just even personally, I think it's fun to think about if something like this happened or even the characters. Would you want to stay in Cleveland after something like this happened? Would you like to see what comes about, or would you take another chance and go and find some other safe zone now that the power of immunity with the gas system being almost depleted, that could change a lot of things. So what would y'all want to do as your characters and maybe even personally yourselves?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think for Sarah, this would be a really great opportunity for her to really dive in into teaching, and maybe not even necessarily like teaching like children or anything like that, but maybe even teaching like the newer people, like their ways, and like introducing them to like their ways of life, and kind of like helping them relearn like a lot of like the unhealthy or like bad habits that they had. So I think that's something Sarah would really enjoy, is just like meeting new people and leading them in the right direction. I think with the whether like Sarah knows it or not, I think she is a natural born leader, and that shows with like her wanting to be a teacher and just wanting to be people oriented. And I think I would do the same. I honestly think I would do the same. I would stay, mostly because I know it's safe. I know it's safe, and you don't know what else is out there, especially after the whole confrontation with the cult. That's, I would not want to do that again. I'd be like, I'm staying right where I am.
I guess it's tough for me thinking about Jack, because like he does leave at the end of season three. I think, you know, Jack in season two started out as a very passive character. You know, he's just trying to like live and figure out what he wants and, you know, be with Sarah. And I think, you know, he has to kind of force himself, especially in season three, to start to like actively take an interest in his own life and what he wants. It depends, you know, it's like in the context of the show, I think he wants to stay with Sarah, and he wants to stay with what is safe. But I also think he's come to the point where he has started to feel like he has to force himself out of his comfort zone to, I guess, find out who he is a little bit more. I could see it going either way. I definitely think it depends where his family and loved ones are, you know, and what it's like if he needs to take the risk, if he needs to take a risk to help people, then I think he would definitely leave to do that like he did. Yeah, and as for me in real life, I would probably stay there. I really value comfort, for better or for worse. I would stay if I knew I had comfort. I would stay there as long as I possibly could before I even thought about venturing out and trying anything else.
I'd like to say that, like me on a personal level, I'm not a character in the show, so it doesn't matter. But for me personally, I'd like to say that I'd like to stay there. But I got to say, like in the back of my mind, if it's true that this sort of gas system that all these safe zones were built with is sort of like keeping people from turning, and I knew in the back of my mind that like, hey, that it's not going to last forever. We got to go find more or something like that, because we don't have enough. You know, I think it'd be hard to trust whoever just left to go and find more and bring it back. You know, I think that's one of the problems. They talk about whenever they were in Richmond that the gas system turned on, they remembered that. So a place that's been overrun, you know, maybe there's some sort of way where there's more. So I don't know. I'd like to think that maybe going to somewhere else would be a little more beneficial. One point that Angie is bringing up during the show is she talks about all of these sorts of like manuals they were left with from the people who built these things before the blast happened. She was talking about like, I don't even know who the real leaders are anymore. I don't know if it matters. Do you think, like, in a world like that, for the characters and for yourselves, like, would it be important anymore to even go and find the people who are in charge of all this, who set all this up, ultimately, potentially were the reasons why the blast happened? We don't necessarily know that. I have an idea of what it is, but it's not discussed in the show. Is it even important, do you think, to try and find those people, or we're so far gone now that we just have to worry about us, and maybe some sort of fix for all this will come later on?
I guess the question is, like, how much do these people know? It's like, sure, they can go out there and cause this big issue and cause the world to fall apart, but do they really know how to fix it? I guess that's my first thought, but I do think in these kind of fictional shows, you do often see the characters, you know, especially when they kind of hit a wall and have a lack of options. I do really understand the choice of, like, we need to get to the bottom of this, because that's our only choice left. You know, it's either we survive as long as we can and die, or we take a chance and try and figure out if we can, you know, actually change the world, you know, and actually try and fix the things that have happened.
I kind of think at that point, it's just so far gone. It's like, where are those people now? Well, they're probably sick. they're probably already dead, especially if they had caused it in the first place. Like, imagine like what was going on where they were in that point of time. And I think it's just kind of holding out hope that there is someone that like has a cure or can make a cure or even might have had ties. But I think that's just so few and far in between, especially with how tiny like the communes for survival are.
The last one that I had for y'all was to bring it back to sort of like the actual show that happened. At the very end, we have seen Sarah sort of do what she believes her purpose is, and she's taken action and gone out and done things that she needed to do. And then at the very end, the Jack character finds out what he needs to do and what he wants to do. So now he's doing it. So I don't know if they break up. I don't know if they separate, but they're sort of obviously separated in this particular time whenever Jack goes off. Do you think that the characters are sort of still in that mindset? Do you think that they expect one another to return and sort of pick up where they left off? Do you think that, as I would imagine relationships were extremely difficult in that sort of period of time, do you think that they meet anyone else? Is Luke someone to be worried about, do you think? Or what do you guys think about that sort of situation dilemma?
I guess when I think about Jack, when I think about the situation in the world overall, I think this is the kind of place you just have to live day by day and not try and think about the future, ideally. But when I think about Jack and what I know about him, I do feel like he lives probably more on the anxious side and maybe a little bit on the jealous side. And so I could see him kind of like have, at least in the back of his mind, being like, yeah, when I get back, we'll get back together because this is, we are a couple. We are like destined to be together, And I could see that having some issues. And I don't know as much about the Sarah character as I feel like I do about Jack, but I do feel like she could be a little more open in that way where she's like, I'm living in the moment. I have to follow whatever path I'm going on currently.
A perfect segue for whatever Jasmine has to say about that.
I think Sarah is someone who has a hopeful future. Like she definitely thinks about the future. She does live day to day. She does what she needs to do. She gets it done. But I also think she's very hopeful in the future, especially with the Jack character. Like you go through the script and you're kind of just like, I don't know. Like I felt something playing Sarah like through their first interaction, and I was just like, oh, like they totally have a spark. Like they're there, and I think that spark is something that would keep Sarah going. I don't know for how long, but I do believe in like that sense, she's very much like their project. She makes it clear to Luke too. She's like I got a man. Like whether or not like they've made it official or not, like she's like I have a boyfriend. Like you just need to know that. Like I don't know who you are, like what you're up to, but like she's already like established those clear boundaries. So I think yeah, and just knowing Sarah, she's just a total ride or die character, like especially for the people she loves and cares about. And I think she loves Jack.
That's really nice to hear because I think it's weird. I don't, various shows record remotely, they record in person. It's all very different. What I love most about the show in particular and with the characters is I've recorded with each of you one time in person separately a long time ago. And, this season, Ben, you're in New York, so you sent me all your stuff remotely. Jasmine, we recorded, you sent me some stuff, and then we recorded over a Zoom call. I'm sure a very uncomfortable Zoom call for you because you were all squinched up in a closet doing it. Felt bad for you. But I think you guys have like such good chemistry. And like, I think it really, well, it comes off on the page, of course. I'll say that. But it also comes off in the recordings. Like, I could just see like you guys, like, it seems like y'all know each other and have known each other for a long time, the way you interact. So, long way to say that I love y'all's performances and I'm happy that we got the gang back together to do another season. And Zariah and I have an idea for a fourth season. So, hopefully, sometime after the editing process, everything's done, I might reach back out and say, hey, we have an idea, let's do it. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
you let us know. I'm good for it.
I'll be here.
Awesome. Well, and Jasmine, there's something also I have a little idea about sort of just like word vomiting without having written anything at all, but I have an idea where maybe there's some sort of prequel episode where, in the first season we have a few flashbacks, but it's essentially started like some years after John and Sarah have come out of hiding. So I would be really curious to see what those first few days are as soon as y'all come out of that basement. I think there's an idea there on getting you and Joseph Paz is the one who plays John, him back in this, and I know he'd be down. So I'll hit you up for that whenever whenever there's an episode written.
I'm so down. That's so fun.
Awesome. All right. Well, I really appreciate both y'all joining me for a conversation about this. Love working with y'all, and I can't wait to work with y'all again. So congrats on the season.
Thanks, Elaine. We love it. I mean, not to speak for you, Jasmine. I love it. I think it was great. It was a really wonderful season. Thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Yeah. No, it's okay. You could speak for me too. We love it. We love it.
We love it.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Okay.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.